This is You and the Law on AM 650. Now back to the show.
And welcome back to the program. Red Robinson and the Diner coming up in just a few minutes, but right now it's You and the Law here on AM 650. I'm joined in studio by David Hobbs and Ian Girodi from Hobbs Girodi in Vancouver, wills and estates litigators. Gentlemen, you've been very patient with me through the course of this conversation, helping me understand the nature of estate law. And it's a really complicated part or of the legal practice, and the sort of work that you do depends in large part on people not doing things properly in the first place. Now, we've talked about the service that you provide to people who are designated as executors, but most of the work at Hobbs Girodi, Ian, is to do with those mistakes or oversights, perhaps, that didn't occur when the proper opportunity came along, so now you have to essentially sort out the mess.
Right. So now we're dealing with someone who is perhaps a disappointed beneficiary, or someone who is not happy with the job the executor is doing. So they're now contacting us either by the telephone or our website or by email, and seeing if we can help them out.
Okay, David, how many people are... now, Ian just identified a couple of categories, a couple of reasons why people would want to come to Hobbs Girodi. One of them being dissatisfaction with the executor. Is that a dominant reason or a secondary reason? I'm surprised that it would come up even as frequently, Ian, as you seem to make it. So is it a big deal? People decide is dissatisfied with the executor?
Yeah, it's very common. A person might be disappointed about their rights under the will or the validity of the will. They might be disappointed with the executor as well. It might be disappointment with all these things,
right,
or it may be any one of them.
Right.
And the executor, you know, is in control. They may not be communicating well with the beneficiary. Sometimes there's a lack of information. Sometimes you don't know how assets are being invested or where money is going or what the status of things are. There's a lack of reporting and so on, and that creates frustration. And, of course, we all know as humans, if we don't have information, we become suspicious.
Absolutely.
And eventually we become angry.
Yep.
And so a lot of the people that contact us are really in the dark and having difficulty and wondering what's going on.
So communication is worth its weight in gold once again, right?
Right.
And, you know, Sterling, one of the things that you have to appreciate is that often the executor is also a substantial beneficiary under the will.
I'm sure that occurs, yeah.
And sometimes there's a...
kind of a conflict of interest?
There can be,
yeah.
Exactly. And that can certainly lead to other beneficiaries contacting us.
Ian, you also talked about people curious or inquiring about their rights under the will. What are a person's rights under the will?
Well, if they're a beneficiary,
yeah.
If
I'm named in the will, I'm supposed to get something from
right.
that person. What are my rights?
Well, your right is to get that something, assuming that after the debts and expenses of the estate have been taken care of,
okay.
that there's either the gift is still there. You know, for example, there's situations where you may have been gifted an automobile or a piece of land that deceased didn't own when he died. The willmaker didn't own. So that will that gift is defeated.
Okay.
More often than not, it's an issue of I'm entitled to this and I'm not receiving it, or I've been gifted this, but it's not enough.
I get the impression, though, David, that the rights of the creditors, the individuals or corporations or groups to whom the deceased owed money are paramount over the recipients of any of the estate. If I owe money, whoever I owe money to gets paid first before anybody I want to have pieced off in my will.
When parents die, often children assume that there's a great deal of wealth
right.
Sitting in the estate. They may not know the full financial affairs of their surviving parent.
Could be a mortgage on the house still, surprise, surprise, and so on, right?
May not have filed their tax returns for a few years, and so on.
Right.
And so one of the jobs of the executor is to gather in the assets and liabilities and to prepare a statement of them and to distribute that statement to all the interested parties. And that's when you see the financial statement, if you will, of the person's worth. And we all tend to focus on a house we see, and you think someone's wealthy, they own a house, but we don't know they have a mortgage on the house. We don't know they haven't paid their property taxes. And, you know, in British Columbia, once you're, I don't know, it's 55 or 60, but at a certain point, you can stop paying your property taxes and just create a loan. And so the municipality will have a charge on that house for the property taxes.
Of course.
And a rate of interest.
Right.
So there's all these things which are the due diligence of understanding an estate and what is it worth. And of course, the bills have to be paid first because distribution is of the net estate. After you've paid your obligations, that's what's available for distribution.
So, Ian, when people come to Hobbs Girodi and seek your assistance, are they most likely to be in a position to receive something or at least think they're owed something from this person's estate?
It's usually one or the other or both. It could be a beneficiary under the will who's just not happy with the timeline it's taking to receive a gift. It can be someone who's receiving a gift but says, you know, I'm one of three children, and both of my siblings are getting 40% of the will, and I'm getting 20%
mm-hmm.
or 10%. And or it could be someone who's being disinherited altogether. And if they qualify under the Wills Variation Act, may be able to do something about it. Other people who come to see us are those who are beneficiaries under earlier wills, where they have a suspicion or have some question in their mind that the last made will is invalid for some reason, lack of testamentary, lack of will maker capacity,
right,
or non-compliance with formal requirements of the Wills Act and so forth. So we can see a host of different or people with different issues.
David, do people ever come to you and go, "This whole thing is just a farce. This is nuts. I want the whole thing thrown out. This is crazy."
Oh, definitely. And again, we talk about manipulation and vulnerability, and sometimes an elderly person will be drawn in to create a will that's just juxtaposed to their longstanding estate plan done within the last month of their life or the last few days of their life. So their vulnerability is immense because of their health, dementia,
any number of factors. Yeah.
And all of a sudden there's a complete left-hand turn made in the estate plan. And that's when someone who's in an earlier will say, gee, what's going on here? It's always been this way and changed at the last minute.
And do these cases, we've only got a few seconds here, but I'm curious, do these cases that are sort of sharp left turns at the end of a person's life, do they get overturned as a rule, Ian?
Well, no, not as a rule, but the fact that there's a very late change in longstanding estate planning is one very relevant and perhaps suspicious circumstance. And what you're looking for is, well, how many other suspicious circumstances are there out there?
Right?
Exactly.
How do people get in touch with you, gentlemen? I know there's HobbsGirodi.com, the website, but if someone listening wants to contact you, how do they go about that?
They just phone us. It's our general line is 669-6609, and they can call Ian or I through our general line, and we're happy to talk to them.
David Hobbs, Ian Girodi, thanks for being with us today, gentlemen.
Pleasure.
That's our program.